Jerome K. Jerome once wrote, "A dog never makes it his business to inquire whether you're in the right or in the wrong. It never bothers as to whether you are going up or down life's ladder. It never asks whether you're rich or poor, silly or wise, sinner or saint. You are his pal. That is enough for him. And come luck or misfortune, good repute or bad, honor or shame, he is going to stick to you, to comfort you, guard you, give his life for you if need be. Foolish, brainless, soulless dog." Today's radio play, Devotion, is suggested by a most interesting story of dog devotion, which will appear in next Sunday's issue of the American Weekly, the magazine distributed with all Hearst Sunday newspapers from coast to coast. A man and his wife sit reading the evening paper. Suddenly, the man speaks.
"Well, I'll be jigged.
What's the matter, dear?"
I've heard some odd ones, but this beats them all."
"What beats what?"
"Well, I was just reading here about a fellow who had a mongrel dog that he'd trained to do tricks on street corners for small change from pedestrians.
Mm-hmm.
It seems one night a man came along and kicked the dog. The owner leaped to defend his four-legged partner, and in the fight, without fully realizing what he was doing, he pulled out his pocket knife and cut the other man's throat."
"You mean he killed him?"
"Yeah."
"Oh, terrible."
"In the confusion that followed, no names of witnesses were taken, and it looked pretty black for the dog owner. Then his lawyer found out about the reason for the fight. He retrieved the dog and held him as a surprise witness in the trial."
"A dog as a witness?"
"Now who's jigged?"
"Well, I am. Go on. Tell me how they got any testimony out of a dog."
"Well, after the joyful reunion, the lawyer for the defendant put the dog through the tricks he'd been performing when his master went to his defense. The dog walked on his hind legs and played dead, snuffed out a match with his paw, and then, and this really does beat all."
"What does?"
"That blamed dog leaped into the jury box and peered beseechingly into the face of each juror."
"They acquitted his master, I suppose."
"Yes, the dog must have turned the trick, because the verdict was not guilty of murder."
"Good. I'm glad the jury appreciated the feelings of the owner when his pet was being hurt. I used to have a dog once."
"Yeah?"
"And if anybody had raised a hand or a foot to him, I think I'd have been guilty of at least manslaughter myself."
"Heavens, hey, is this the mild woman I married?"
"Well, still water runs deep, you know." "Did I ever tell you about the time I was saved by my Airedale?"
"Well, that part of your past I'm ignorant of, my dear."
"Well, it must have been 2 or 3 years before I met you. I was out for something for Mother. It was wintertime, and I thought I'd take a shortcut home by walking across the pond instead of around it. The kids had been skating there a few days before, so I thought it'd be perfectly safe. Sponger was racing around in circles ahead of me. Suddenly, he began to plunge. What's the matter, Sponger?" "Oh, come on, Sponger. Come on, boy. What you hanging back for? We're the only ones around. Nobody's going to hurt you. Stop that whining. Come along now like a good boy. Here, what you nipping my skirt for? Stop it. Come along."
I can't pull myself up. Sponger, get you up. Here you go. Now, go get help, Sponger. Go get help. Sponger, listen to me. Go get help. Hurry, Sponger. Hurry.
Hey, go away, boy. Come on, don't bother me. Beat it, you hear me? Beat it. Here, what are you doing? Let go of my coat. Hey, stop pulling. Hey, what's the matter, boy? Where are you trying to take me? Huh? Oh, all right, I'll follow you. I'm late for work now, but a few minutes more won't make any difference. Hang on, lady. I'll be right with you.
I can't handle much longer. I'm frozen.
Here, give me your hand. Now. There you are.
Thanks a thousand times.
Don't thank me, lady. Thank your dog here.
So you see, my dear, if it hadn't been for Sponger, you wouldn't have had me for your wife.
Well, if Sponger were only alive now, I'd see that he got a medal.
Oh, he got one. I thought of that.
Well, so he should. You know, dogs have a lot more sense than most folks give them credit for.
I remember an incident where a chap was indebted to a perfectly strange dog. Two men were working on a scaffold 15 stories up from the ground. About time for lunch, ain't it, Bill?
Almost, Bob. Anyhow, I'll have to get out soon and get some more paint. This is almost used up.
Say, didn't that sound like wood splitting?
I didn't hear nothing.
Gee, it'd be terrible if this scaffold gave way under us.
Can't you think of pleasanter things, Bob?
Well, it's quite a step to the ground. 15 stories. I'd rather walk down than drop down.
Oh, quit talking like that. You give me the jitters. Hey, do you need any more paint?
No, my pail's more than half full.
Well, my side's done. You ready to lower away?
Okay, Bill. Lower away on your side. Now, that's a little more now. That's it.
Okay. Now try your side, Bob.
All right.
Hold it. Say, Bob, bring your paint pot and finish up here like a good fella. There's no use of me making that trip down just for this little place. It's too near lunch hour.
All right, Bill. Here I come.
Oh!
Whiskey boy. Oh, you want to go out? Well, what are you doing at that window?
Good heavens!
Hang on, mister. I'll throw a rope around you. Don't let go now. Mary! Mary! Bring the clothesline, quick!
All right.
Hang on, mister. We'll save you. Oh, there must have been two of them, Whiskey. Look, one's down there on the street.
Here's the clothesline. What's the... Oh, mercy.
Here, I'll make a lasso.
Put it up
like this.
You can.
Throw it to him. Now, here you go, mister. Catch it.
Why, he's still hanging on to his paint pot. Why don't he drop that and grab the rope?
You're too scared. Can't even speak. He's under a terrible strain hanging in that position. I'll have to try and throw the rope around his leg.
Oh, do hurry. I do hope that the poor fellow can hold on just a minute longer.
Well, here goes the rope.
Oh, sure, he almost has it. Try again, quick. Oh, I'm afraid he's going to faint.
Here it goes again. Caught around his leg.
Hold tight. Oh, sure.
Now, I've got him. Give me a hand.
Here, I go.
Easy now.
Help him.
We'll pull him. Now, heave.
Come along, you
know. That's it. Grab hold of him.
Help me, help me. Sure, he's pretty heavy.
Yeah, he's fainted, probably.
Oh, no. No, he ain't. Are you all right, mister?
Oh, I feel sick and weak. Oh, my hand hurts.
I should say it would. Burned on the rope like that. Mary, get some stuff from the medicine cabinet.
Yes, I'll do that.
Bill?
Oh, I suppose you mean your helper. Now, I don't know. He wasn't moving down there on the street.
Poor Bill. Oh, I'm grateful to you, sir, for helping me. I couldn't have held on any longer.
Thank my dog, Whiskey, here. He brought me to the window, didn't you, boy?
My, but that was exciting.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to go through it again, I can tell you.
You? Did you save that workman, Robert?
No, I was the workman, my love.
Well, that's part of your past you never told me.
Of course not. Man has to have something left to entertain his wife on long winter evenings.
Oh, yes? You know, funny thing how you get started on a subject and then stories and illustrations come to mind, isn't it?
Yes. You know, the smartest dogs in the world are police dogs. They go through regular training, a regular dog college.
I've often wondered how they train.
Well, I clipped an article somewhere not long ago that told all about it.
Hmm?
I think I've got it here in my wallet someplace. Let's see. Here it is. Here's what it says. They teach them to obey verbal and silent orders, protect masters without commands, stopping at command, pursuing and arresting a prisoner on attempted flight, guarding a prisoner during the absence of the master. It also tells about a tough Negro, a lifer who escaped from jail. Finally, he was captured for another offense, and the authorities were notified. The jailer came up for his former prisoner, accompanied by Magda, a graduate of the police dog training school.
Here's your prisoner, Chief.
Hello, Johnson. I'm glad to see you again.
Yeah, I bet you is. Well, I'm glad to see you.
I'm not surprised to hear that. Stick out your hands. You're coming back home with me.
Listen, you ain't never going to get me back there alive.
Maybe we better send a couple of men with you, Chief. This puck's a tough one.
Oh, Magda can watch him while I drive.
That dog?
Yeah.
Watch him?
Yeah, gonna be easy breaking loose from you, boss.
We'll see about that.
Go on, Robert. Did the Negro get away?
Well, the jailer put his prisoner in the back seat of the car and set the dog to guarding him. And so they drove along. Now, when they got to a lonely stretch of road, the prisoner suddenly made a quick move as though to bring his manacled hands down on the head of the unsuspecting jailer. In a flash, the dog pushed the Negro back with his front paws and stood snarling in his face.
Yeah, tried to get away, did he, Magda? Good dog.
Call off your dog, you hear? Call him off. He'd bite my throat to pieces.
That's right, Johnson. One more move from you, and that's just what will happen.
Call off your dog. Call him off. I can't move.
All right, but see you don't move during the rest of the trip. Shall, Magda? Yeah, that's it. Guard him well, Magda.
Needless to say, the prisoner was safely delivered to the chain gang.
Aren't those dogs wonderful?
Yeah, they even teach them to climb ladders into burning buildings and save babies.
Speaking of burning buildings, did you see that piece in the paper yesterday? Or was it the day before yesterday? About the dog named Ginger?
No.
Well, it seems that about 3 o'clock in the morning, fire broke out in a tenement house. All the tenants were asleep. But Ginger sniffed the smoke and started to bark. The first ones aroused sent in the alarm.
Fire!
Ginger then aroused her master and mistress and jumped through the window to the fire escape, expecting them to follow her. But the flames broke through from below and cut off the exit. They ran upstairs but were overcome in the hall. In the meantime, the apparatus had arrived and the firemen were pouring water on the flames. In the midst of the confusion, Ginger ran around looking for her master and mistress. Then, she ran back up the fire escape into the burning building, evidently trying to find her master and mistress and lead them to safety.
Did she succeed?
No. Their bodies were found in the hall where they'd been overcome by the smoke.
And Ginger?
She perished in her vain attempt. She died like a hero.
Poor dog. Man's greatest friend is his dog. What was it some writer said? You are his pal. That's enough for him. And come luck or misfortune, good repute or bad, honor or shame, he's going to stick to you, to comfort you, guard you, give his life for you if need be. Foolish, brainless, soulless dog.
Be sure to read the interesting details of how a dog saved his master when it appears in next Sunday's issue of the American Weekly, the magazine distributed with all Hearst Sunday newspapers from coast to coast. It will appear under the title, Save from Murder Penalty by Testimony of His Dog. This is Wentworth announcing and turning the microphone over to your own announcer.